meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and I am joined, as ever, by my co-host, Loretta Freilich, who is a retired criminal prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. And we are overjoyed because it's Thanksgiving week. We're not just filled with joy. We're overjoyed this week and thankful for all of our blessings and grateful to all of you for joining us here as we sit in for Father Anthony, as we do every Monday. So,
amen. Amen, Mary.
So, do you have a good weekend?
Oh, I had an awesome weekend.
What did you do?
I went to the Misericordia brunch.
Okay.
Where
was that?
It was held at Misericordia.
Oh, they have it there. All
they
right.
have it there. Yes.
Okay.
It's quite the do.
Yes.
And my host was my dear friend, Margaret O'Rourke.
Okay.
And I want to give a little shout out to Julie Liggett, who was also one of the guests who is listening on the radio this morning.
Oh, hi,
she
Julie.
She was all excited. And Patrick O'Rourke is Margaret and Margaret's son, and they... Patrick lives at Misericordia.
Okay.
And he joined us as well.
Wonderful. So, wonderful.
Wonderful. Wonderful brunch. It's quite the event. And they have all kinds of little, well, I guess like mini shops, like kind of like, I want to say.
Like a Christmas market?
Yes.
Kind of thing?
Have you ever been
nice.
Out like, well, have you ever been out to, is it the Villager in, not the Villager, out in Geneva, the Little Traveler.
Okay.
You know how you just keep walking from room to room to room, and there's all kinds of different, you know, cooking stuff in one room and jewelry in another and clothing in another.
Okay.
And all Christmassy, and all the proceeds go to Misericordia and Sister Rosemary, who does such a phenomenal job.
Oh, she's Sister
yes.
Rosemary. I tell you, just you want to just attach your... you know, hitch your wagon to the star that is Sister Rosemary. You know, if there's ever anybody who's going to go straight to heaven,
amen.
It's Sister Rosemary. What a wonderful woman she is, and such a and so foresightful, I guess, for lack
yes.
of a better word, in terms of creating this community.
Yes.
You know, for adults with developmental disabilities and a place for them to live, not just with dignity, but in a place that really helps them to reach their full potential
yes.
as human beings. It's really, you know, there's a very funny comedy clip that's been circulating the last week. So I have a number of friends who have, you know, adult children with either special needs or Down syndrome. And it's this comedian who has a family member with Down syndrome. And he says, you know, he starts out his stand-up routine by saying, you know, people... if they don't have a person with Down syndrome in your family and they find out, oh, you know, I have a sister with Down syndrome or an uncle with Down syndrome or what have you, they're always like, oh, is he okay? Is she okay? And he starts laughing. He said, he's doing better than everybody else in the family. Like, we're all on, you know,
exactly.
antidepressants and, you know, everything else. He's happy all the time. Are you kidding? Like, life is great for him. So it really is. I was so happy to see kind of in the mainstream there people
yes.
talking about, you know, because 7 out of 10 people with Down syndrome are aborted now.
Oh.
And it's just heartbreaking when you think of that, and the joy that people with Down syndrome bring to their families.
Yes,
and
let me tell you, Mayor, about one of the most lovely parts of the brunch is not just the shopping, which God bless Sister Rosemary. She reminds all the ladies that shopping is doing God's work
right.
if you're doing it at Misericordia.
Well, sure, of course so. It is. You know, it helps in whatever way, you know, you're making a contribution because, you know, this kind of high-level mm-hmm. care and service is not inexpensive.
No.
And it's very important that we all pitch in, you know, to
right.
as our means would allow us to,
right.
you know, in order to be able to support families who you know, it's and just what I do. I have a former coworker whose daughter lives at Misericordia now, and just how relieved she was to be able to get her in
yes.
there. Because as she ages, it's been really difficult for her husband passed away, and then she was aging, and she was
sure.
very concerned that her daughter would, you know, that she wouldn't be properly cared for after
right.
she went on. So now she knows, you know, that she will be cared for and. You know, when she went to Misericordia, she could not feed herself. And
wow.
now she can feed herself. They have just worked. Their physical therapists and occupational therapists have just worked with her so beautifully to just bring out all the things that, you know, she could do, but they just didn't know she could do. So
right.
it's really just been such a wonderful, wonderful gift. But I'm so glad that you were able to do that.
Well, I also just want to give a little shout out to all of the staff there and the volunteers. They're all parents, a lot of moms, just helping out to promote Misericordia and be part of the shops and part of the breakfast. But, you know, they entertain along the lines of what you were talking about. The entertainment is the Heartbreakers, which is a group
right.
of students.
Right.
And they sing and dance. But I was just always so charmed by them.
Yes.
But I was so impressed this year because the last song, a young girl stepped out of the line that was singing and dancing, came down, and she led them as they signed one of the Christmas songs.
Oh, how beautiful.
And I thought, boy, I don't know sign language. Look at, and it was just, you can just feel the love in this place.
Oh,
and
that is beautiful.
Yes, isn't that beautiful? And, you know, everybody should know there are 16 houses that are being completed, and they are looking for staff. So get online if you're looking for a job. If you have the qualifications and the heart to love these beautiful young adults, children and young adults, and really, you know, make a difference, they have a waiting list of 600 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yes, wow is right. So, I really want to encourage everybody to do their part to pray for Misericordia, pray for the staff and the volunteers, and especially, you know, you talk about the students reaching their potential. Well, they have a bakery there.
Right.
And I'm going to tell
the hearts,
you.
The Hearts
I'm
and gonna, Flower Bakery.
The
it's
Hearts
wonderful.
And Flowers Bakery. Yes, I'm going to add about 10 pounds to my hips because
their soda bread is fantastic at St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. And also, I mean, their brownies, their little heart-shaped brownies.
Oh, right.
And those butter cookies. Oh.
Yes.
So there's lots of ways that you can go online and support Misericordia by buying their delicious baked goods. And nobody paid me for this advertisement. I want you to know.
You are fantastic.
I was just fascinated, you
yeah.
know, by the opportunities to love God in this place.
Yeah.
And you can feel the love.
Right. And have a nice time at the same time.
Exactly.
You know? And it's, well, that's, you know, it is, I'm just so grateful. And it's just such a witness. And whether or not, you know, people are, and even for people who are supporters of legal abortion and, you know, were upset that Roe was overturned.
Oh, my God. Get over to Misericordia and see what goes on.
Well, right. Exactly. That, you know, people will live horrible lives if they, you know. So at any rate, it's just, I'm just so grateful. And thank you for doing it and bringing awareness to it, because it's really important that people understand how it is not only possible, but, you know, I don't want to say easy, but it is not unusual for an adult with Down syndrome to be able to have a very happy and meaningful life.
Absolutely.
And I love, do you ever watch that show, Call the Midwife?
Yes.
Okay. So they have there's an adult with Down syndrome who's a character on that
mm-hmm.
show who's just, it is just such a beautiful witness. And And he's just, he's one of my favorite actors on the whole show.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Well, a little shout out to my sweet little mommy up in heaven with the Lord. She taught mentally and physically challenged kids for the Chicago Board
of Ed. I had forgotten that.
For 40 years. So, you know, she raised us with an understanding. The only reason that, you know, you can see these kids' disability. They can't see yours.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So God bless all the kids at Misericordia, and thank you for doing such a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you for again, for going to it, because I had a friend, this is years and years ago, mm-hmm. who worked at Catholic Charities, and she still does, in fact, but she had her wedding reception at Misericordia.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, I don't know that they allow that anymore or all the time, but it was lovely, and some of the residents were the servers, you know.
How
and
beautiful.
It was just, the whole thing was just, from start to finish, was just adorable, and just a lovely, what a privilege it was to be able to go to that particular reception. So, So, you had a much more interesting weekend than I did.
What did you do this weekend?
Oh, we did yard work galore. So I am a big fan of
The whole family doing it.
Well, yeah, a lot of me. So I'm a big fan of fall bulbs. Or, you know, put the bulbs in the fall and they come up in the spring, and they are perennials. So they come back, but you do have to replant every few years. And I have not planted in several years now. And so they were starting to look a little thin. So it was the time, but we had such a streak of unusually beautiful days. So
yes,
my husband and I worked together, and we probably planted, I was going to say buried. We planted, we didn't bury anything. There is a dead guinea pig out there somewhere. I'm not sure exactly, but I did not unearth him. We planted about 200 bulbs. So,
wow.
And because it was so late in the season, I went over to Home Depot.
Yes.
All the bulbs were half price.
Whoa, good shopping, Mayor.
Yeah, but you know, the tulip colors weren't exactly what I wanted, but so I didn't get as many tulips. I got some, but not a ton. And then, but I got a lot of hyacinth and mm-hmm. crocus and irises.
Wow.
So we'll have some nice bulbs coming up. And then we did the dreaded raking. And so that took all day for the two of us to, you know, you get a big tarp out, you rake all the leaves onto the tarp, because the village is going to do the last run to pick leaves up. So we had to get those out. So, but I tell you, I had to put a heating pad on my shoulders last night.
Aww.
I used muscles I didn't know existed anymore. But it was good. You know, we did it together. It was a good activity for us to do with each other. And so that was good. And I've been, you know, I have to say, I've been feeling more and more convicted through scripture and some other things about more carefully observing the Lord's Day. So
yes.
I'm trying very hard now not to shop on Sundays, definitely not shopping on Sundays unless it's an absolute emergency, but also being careful about not doing, you know, other kind
yes.
of work, right? Not doing the laundry or not doing, you know,
sure.
That sort of thing. So I don't consider, like, planting and things like that, when you're doing it together, to me, it didn't feel
sure.
like work.
No.
It was something nice, enjoyable that we were doing together.
But
so.
It gives you joy.
Yeah.
It's not like you get all scrupulous and go and sit on the couch and just sit there.
Yeah.
You know, you're out with your husband, you're taking good care of your property, and you're making it more beautiful for your friends that pick you up or
right.
your neighbors.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, well, why don't we go to our first break, and then when we come back, we will... we'll share with our listeners some of our special thoughts for Thanksgiving.
Yay!
And
we'll talk about Thanksgiving and what you're making for Thanksgiving.
That's right, and what you're making and what has to be. You know what I want to talk about? I saw this really funny news story, and we'll get to that after the break. But the thing that has to be on your family table, or it's not Thanksgiving, but nobody eats it. But if you don't make it, everybody complains. But if you do make it, no one eats it.
All right, I'm going to think about it.
Think about that. Okay, so listeners... this is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Freilich sitting in for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change.
This week, we gather round the table with family and friends and offer our thanks to God for the gift of our very life and the blessings bestowed upon us. Happy Thanksgiving from Winds of Change. You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change. Winds of Change has an immediate part-time opening for producer board operator. The duties include running the Winds of Change program, assembling the best of programs, working with a host radio station and program hosts,
writing the day's program summary for web posting, plus uploading a copy of the day's program to our podcast app. This position would be a worthy opportunity if you're retired and where you can make a difference. The Winds of Change Studio is located at 1351 West Evergreen Avenue, Chicago, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. Work hours are middays, Monday through Friday. Email a letter telling us about yourself to adcmedia@hotmail.com. adcmedia@hotmail.com.
Welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frelick on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. We are happy to be sitting in for Father Anthony. And Thanksgiving is Thursday. So we are just having a small family Thanksgiving dinner this year, in part because, as some of you listeners know, all of my kids have celiac disease. So it is very hard to go to another house for dinner because there's stuffing galore and all sorts of other pies and things like that floating about, which could make them very sick. So we have our own gluten-free family dinner. I've mastered gluten-free stuffing, and I will go tomorrow morning to the gluten-free bakery in Hinsdale, Illinois, to pick up our pies. We are lucky that we have a facility like that in the Chicago area, and it is a mob scene. You've got to order your things 10 days in advance in order to be able to get them because so many, you know, again, it's the only gluten-free bakery in the area, so people come from all over to go to it. So I'll be going to pick those up. And before the break, we were talking about what's the one dish that has to be on your family table for Thanksgiving, but that nobody eats it even when you make it?
Jell-O.
Jell-O is mine, too. What is yours? My mother's famous Jell-O mold from a recipe she got from, like, the 1962 Chicago Tribune food section. Maybe it was probably later than that. It was probably 67 or 68. But, yeah, we have to make – I like it. And actually, people will kind of eat it. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, there's so much good stuff to eat that you never have.
And yeah.
Who can't whip together a bowl of Jell-O?
Yeah.
What kind
do you have?
I'm not a cook. I can do Jell-O. Well, because no one ate it, when Thanksgiving shifted to us kids, my mom was, I don't even know how to talk about her anymore. I think she's like right here. But my mom was the world's best cook, and I have the hips to prove it. Mm. And she had one of those palates where she could taste something and tell you what was in it, and then you could duplicate it, you know, like Fields chicken salad and, you know, that kind of stuff. So we have to have we call them smashed potatoes.
Okay.
I think it takes an entire box of butter. I'm not sure. She really goes to town on those, taters. So I'm kidding when I say that.
Okay.
But lots of milk, sour cream, and her nickname for her potatoes is smashed potatoes.
Wow.
She passed out the recipe at the beauty shop one year.
Okay.
Everybody makes them now.
Huh.
They're really that delicious.
Huh. Okay. And so what is it? What kind of potato?
I don't know. Mary, I don't
know. You don't even know the kind of potato? Because there are different kinds of potatoes.
Yes,
you know that, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
But then we also have a dish called, this is to die for. It's a dish called heavenly onions.
Okay.
And it is onions sauteed. And there's a debate in our family now that we've passed the recipe around. Is it cream of chicken or cream of mushroom soup?
Okay.
That goes into it. Swiss cheese, you saute it in a pan, then you put it into a dish. You cover it with little rounds of French bread and put it buttered French bread, and you put it in the oven. Mary.
Boy, you do lots of butter.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Mary, we're Irish.
Yeah.
And then what else? That's kind of the famous green bean casserole.
Okay.
My brother could eat the entire thing. I've yet to figure out why. And
okay.
Perhaps he could cook it.
I like the green bean casserole myself. I'm a fan of the green bean casserole. But you have to do it. So the key is never, ever, ever use those nasty canned green beans. They just come out like mush. Yeah. Our producer is giving me the thumbs up from the studio in there.
He agrees with you.
Yeah, so you need to get the frozen French cut green beans.
Okay.
So those are the thin ones.
Yes.
And then Progresso cream of mushroom soup.
Yes.
Which is just much better than Campbell's. And it's also gluten-free, but it's a much nicer soup. And then, you know, we use the gluten-free French fried onions, but you mix about half the onions into the mix, and then you put it on top, hit the other half on top to crunch them up at the end. Mm-hmm. And it really is good that way.
Okay, well, maybe I'll be over tomorrow night or Thursday night to try your green beans.
I'm going to be cooking all day. Yeah, my daughter is working at a very high-end restaurant, and they are doing, I think, 3 or 4 seatings on Thanksgiving. And so she has to work all day long. So we are having a very late dinner, probably not till 7 on Thanksgiving Day. So I will be cooking all day. I'm going to just spend the day cooking. I don't think I'll do very much in advance. I'll spend, Wednesday cleaning the house and organizing. And
there
then
you
I'll,
go.
And then I'll cook on Thursday. Yeah.
I have to confess a funny story. Last year, I don't cook. If anybody hasn't figured that out, I can grill. I can broil. I killed the broiler on my stove. That's how often I used my broiler. So we ended up getting a new stove. But with directions, I can follow. I can cook. I can do, except I can't do pork chops yet. But anyway, that's another story. Last year.
Well, marinate them. If you marinate pork chops, they'll always turn in buttermilk.
Mary, I have made 3 attempts each time. My niece has had to rescue me.
Oh, dear.
But
okay.
Last year's turkey, I have to confess, we make our turkey in a roaster these days because it just seems to be moister and better flavor, and then we have room in our oven for all these sides we're cooking.
Right.
I put the turkey in upside down.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but did you know Ina Garten, Barefoot Contessa, has a recipe for that. It's called upside down turkey.
Well,
and she recommends that, actually, because then the juices all go into the breast.
It really, truly was so moist. But I really was looking at this turkey thinking, honey, were you on a diet before? In an attempt to avoid the slaughter for Thanksgiving, it looked a little measly.
But
did
it turn out okay?
Oh, my gosh, it was delicious.
Yeah.
But we all had a good laugh over Aunt Loretta's upside-down
well,
turkey.
You can tell everybody that's an actual Barefoot Contessa Ina Garten recipe, is that particular method to do it. I never, but it makes sense then, because then the juice from the darker meat goes into the breast.
Yes.
But I use a recipe I've been using for, over 10 years now. But it was, again, it was in the Tribune. But a coworker gave it to me, and it's turkey. So instead of putting the usual lemons in the turkey cavity, we don't put the stuffing in the turkey. We bake the stuffing separately.
We're stuffing in.
Oh, do you? Do you do stuffing in?
So we do stuffing in, but we take it right out.
Right. We do a whole onion and then chopped up, obviously.
Yes.
But then you get navel oranges.
Ooh.
And you put cloves in them, whole cloves. You stud them with whole cloves, cut them in half, put those in there. It is, first of all, the smell of the roasted turkey with the oranges is just incredible. And it comes out so moist.
Wow.
Because the oranges have so much juice in them. And so it moistens it, and it is fantastic.
Do you quarter them or slice them?
Quarter them. So you have, and then a whole yellow onion, just quarter that, and then a head of garlic, just kind of quarter that. And then some thyme and some, let's see, what else do we put in? Some rosemary and some sage, and then you just let it roast. You put a little butter under the skin, a pat of butter under the skin, but it is just fantastic.
Just a pat?
Well, because it's so moist from the oranges. You don't need to add, and you don't want it to over brown because sometimes if there's too much butter, then it browns too quickly.
And then
you have to tent it and stuff. So I went to the Jewel on Saturday morning. It was so funny. I saw no fewer than 5 men, probably in their 40s or 50s, wandering around with like pieces of paper in their hands, wandering around the store trying to find. It was so funny. At one point, I was going to stop this poor man because he looked totally lost. He's in the vegetable section. I could tell he didn't know what he was doing. And it's obviously a list his wife had made for him.
Of course.
Right? And oh my gosh, it was so funny. They were walking around like zombies, and there were at least 5 of them. So that was quite amusing. But I got, because we're going to be a small group this year, so I just got a 14 pounder. That was the smallest one I could find.
Wow.
And I didn't want to just do a breast.
No.
But no, some of them were 18, 20 pound turkeys.
Wow.
And I don't want to. I don't need anything that big.
Well, so. We've never done anything but 20.
Oh, do you only do? Okay. Well, you're going to be a much bigger group. So.
Well, in the old days, when I was growing up, we used to host my mother's entire family.
Wow.
And the year my father had to buy three turkeys.
Oh, my gosh.
He told my mother.
What on earth?
That he would he suggested.
It's like cooking for an army. What on earth?
He suggested they find another location to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's
but,
a
you know,
lot
we
of
had
people.
A big old Victorian house. We put a table down the middle, a couple of tables, and some chairs. And the kids used to, we'd eat first, God bless our parents.
Okay.
And then the parents would make their own dinner. But I learned when my father died, my Uncle Jim spilled the beans and said, he and my dad used to go out about 2 hours before dinner because they knew they were never getting near that turkey for
right.
about 3 hours. And they'd go to a local hot dog joint, Parkies, and they'd have a couple of hot dogs.
Oh, no kidding.
Before they went back home to kind of carve turkeys and orchestrate Thanksgiving. It was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, have you ever seen the Everybody Loves Raymond episode? For Thanksgiving.
Where she drops the turkey
on the floor and then throws it in the oven.
Yes, it's very funny.
I think that her dropping it on the floor was not scripted.
I agree.
I don't think it was. And I think, if I recall correctly, seeing something about it, that she dropped it because she's a tiny little thing.
Yes.
And then he made the comment, you know, that's where the seasoning comes from or whatever. And
yes.
then she slams it in there. But yeah, that's a very funny episode. But then my favorite of all time to this day is the WKRP turkey drop. WKRP in Cincinnati.
No.
Do you know that one?
No.
Oh, that was a wonderful
Tell
show.
Us.
And so WKRP in Cincinnati had a Thanksgiving promotion.
Yes.
Thought up by Herb, their, that was his name, right, Armand? Herb, yeah. Herb, who was their, sales manager or whatever,
sure.
where they were at a shopping mall, they were going to drop turkeys from a helicopter for people. And so, of course, what happens is the turkeys are going through windshields. They're injuring people. Because the station manager thought turkeys could fly. So he walks in, at the end, and then they're, you know, it's just mayhem at the shopping mall with these turkeys dropping out of the, live turkeys dropping out of the helicopter. And the very last line is, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. And that's on T-shirts now. And it still is one of the funniest, I think, Thanksgiving episodes ever. And now you can get posters. And like I said, you know, there's T-shirts and everything else. So it's a really fun show. So look that up on YouTube.
I will.
Yeah,
I'm going
WKRP
to.
WKRP in Cincinnati. It's really.
It sounds hilarious.
Yes, your nieces and nephews will like that. That'll be a fun thing to do around. Do you guys play games or watch football or anything like that?
Oh, we watch football. We play games.
Yep.
We're very blessed. There's a baby to play with and another one coming. So we'll get to play with my nephew and have just a wonderful time. And at the Misericordia brunch, I got him a book. So we'll have a good time.
Well, I hope you do. And again, we both have so much to be thankful for. We all do. And well, let's go to our second break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the spiritual underpinnings of Thanksgiving. And
terrific.
Loretta, I know you've done some historical research for us and for our listeners. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. So
well,
this
thanks.
Is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frelick here on Winds of Change. Don't go away.
This week, we gather round the table with family and friends and offer our thanks to God for the gift of our very life and the blessings bestowed upon us. Happy Thanksgiving from Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan's Lacosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta Frelick and Mary Fiorito coming to you from 7:50 a.m., the Winds of Change. And, you know, we've talked about some of the holiday events that have happened around this weekend, some of our looking forward to Thanksgiving. And one of the things that it's always important to me, at least, and to Mary, is that we pray for our nation. And this is not something we do because Mary and I think it's a good idea. But if you read Paul's first letter to Timothy in the second chapter, this is what he admonishes the people. He says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all the men, for kings, and for all who are in high positions. And here's the kicker, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and respectful in every way. So I find it so interesting that we're doing this. We're praying and we're giving thanks to God for our leaders and we're making supplications for them so we, you and me, can have a peaceful life. So, you know, we admonish everybody that that is such a good idea. And today I was excited because always before Thanksgiving, I like to talk about how Thanksgiving, Mayor, was not just a potluck that they invited Squanto right. and some Indians to.
Right.
And it the
So what we all grew up learning in grade school about Thanksgiving is that the Native Americans to thank the pilgrims to thank the Native Americans for helping them to learn how to grow corn and to helping them survive the elements and to, you know, secure food for themselves and their families, hosted this meal that they had together, you know, after the harvest was over.
But right.
That's not...
That's
partly true.
Well, it's kind of sort of true.
Okay.
If you read between the lines.
Okay.
In William Bradford's writings. And this comes to us from a book by Derek Prince called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. And this book really changed the way I looked at so much of our history. Hmm. Because I think what Derek Prince did in this instant was document history accurately.
Okay, so he's a historian? Is he a teacher?
He was born in Bangalore, India, into a British military family.
Okay.
And he went to Cambridge. He went to Eton. He went to Cambridge.
Fancy person.
Right. He's a fancy person. And later he studied at Hebrew University in Israel.
Okay.
He was a philosopher and a self-proclaimed atheist.
Wow.
Until during a stint in the British Medical Corps during World War II, he began to study the Bible as a philosopher, not as a believer. And he was converted through a powerful encounter with Jesus Christ. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it changed the trajectory of his life.
Wow, okay.
And he then became devoted to studying and teaching the Bible as the Word of God.
Okay.
So part of his story, he lived in Israel for some time. He married his first wife, who had adopted many young ladies.
Okay.
His second wife, she died, and he married another woman with a similar family that she had adopted young women, and that changed his life working with them and helping them to reach their full potential.
Okay.
He moved to Seattle, Washington, and became a pastor and a radio personality.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And he is recognized all over the world as a biblical scholar and spiritual patriarch. And
so what denomination was he then?
You know, I can't. He was not Catholic. That I can tell you.
Okay.
However, he's written over 64 books, and it's just his desire that God work through him until God comes again, until Jesus comes again.
Okay.
It is believed that, and really I highly recommend this book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. It is believed that the underground version of this book that was translated into Russian and in the USSR, East Germany and Czechoslovakia caused the conversion in the fall. So it's in this book that
Again, the name of the book is?
The name of the book is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting.
Okay.
By Derek Prince.
Okay.
Okay?
Excellent.
And he believed, you know, he came to the United States and his ministry was launched further through there. But he believed that the United States' purpose is for the worldwide proclamation of the gospel, and that the U.S., and I'm quoting from this book on page 185, and he believed that the United States will complete the thread of divine destiny that's run through our nation for 3.5 centuries. And he, as a student in England, had never been taught any American history. So when he came to the United States, William Bradford started writing and talking about, Derek Prince started studying William Bradford.
Okay.
And he started reading William Bradford's writings on the Mayflower. And in On the Mayflower, he talks about Bradford, talks about coming to the United States on the Mayflower and landing at Cape Cod and the dangers and the hardships that the pilgrims encountered.
Okay.
And he talked about how the Spirit of God truly helped them and blessed them, and that Bradford's work recorded the many ways in which Bradford prayed to God and God answered his prayer.
Huh.
So it's much like you and I, when we give praise to God for an answered prayer, that's what William Bradford was doing in his writings.
Right. Well, I'm just looking at Amazon, and Derek Prince has many books.
Yes, he does.
Many books, a lot of them on prayer. And,
yes.
And a lot of them on spiritual warfare.
Yes.
That seems to have been a particular area of his expertise, at least with his. So this is really interesting.
So
to see so many books.
Yes. And that are still read all over the world as Derek Prince has gone home.
Right. When did he pass away?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But before, I think I picked him up or I would have looked for him. But you can still see some of his teachings on YouTube.
Okay.
And what's interesting in this book is, you know, he also talks, now I'm going to say a scary word.
What's that?
Fasting.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about that, because, you know, I used to rely on your mother to fast for me. So now that she's gone, I'm going to have to do it myself. She was my secret weapon. Listeners, those of you, I did, when Loretta's mother went to be with the Lord, I did talk about a little tribute to her about this, because the first time I met her, I was getting ready to either do an abortion talk or an abortion debate, one of the two. And she said she would pray for me, and I said, "Wow, I really appreciate that. Thank you for praying for me." And she said, and then she stopped me, and she said, "And I'm also going to fast for you." And I thought, "Wow, I just met this woman, and she's going to." That's a big thing. Let's talk about. Why don't you give we know about fasting on Good Friday and Ash Wednesday, right?
Yes.
So everybody's familiar with that, but let's talk about it in the bigger context in terms of our prayer lives and what fruits it brings.
Yes. Well, my mother's phrase used to be, fasting breaks the back of the devil. And you had to do the Medjugorje fast, which was bread and water
Fridays. Right when I got back from Medjugorje, and I would get so violently sick. I would get such horrific, I'd be vomiting the whole
Then you're not supposed to do it.
No. So my spiritual director said, you have to stop doing that because that's not what it's supposed to be like.
Right.
You know.
But some people can withstand that.
Yes.
And that's the fast the Lord is calling them to. I know of a mother who had a son who was challenged mentally and physically, and she gave up candy for her life.
Yeah.
If the Lord would take care of her son, and her son is quite safe and living in an adult residential care, the mom's gone home to God, and she never had another piece of candy.
Yeah.
You can also give up a cup of coffee.
Or just sugar in your coffee. I know, for example, like if I'm not in Opus Dei, but I have a number of friends who are and acquaintances who are, And they're very big on kind of those small, their numeraries, who are kind of their consecrated lay people. Like, for example, just not putting sugar in your coffee.
Right.
You know, or at one meal not having dessert. Or at, so right. that you do one thing at each meal where it's a small sacrifice.
Yes.
Right.
So, and it's pretty hard to be talking about it on, you know, as we prepare for the day of gluttony that
right.
Americans engage in before they lay on the couch and watch football. But fasting can also be, it doesn't have to be food. Fasting can also be not having, watching television.
Right.
I gave up my favorite television program for my nephew who was having a difficult time at his job. And, you know, it really, it broke my heart not to be able to watch The Closer.
Yeah.
I love Brenda Lee Johnson. And, you know, I having former law enforcement, I love how they put together the crime and solve it. And I, so, you know, it can be challenging, but the good of it is that you give it up for a greater good.
Right.
And in my case, it was that my nephew not have trouble at work.
Right.
But there's all kinds of ways. And this book also discuss fasting and makes the theory that fasting intensifies your prayer. So if you want to look and see the best part of fasting for the discipline, studying the discipline of fasting is on the Mount in Matthew 6, 1 through 18. Christ gives instructions on three related duties: giving alms, praying, and fasting.
Okay.
And he places emphasis on the fasting and the importance of it making our prayer greater. Increasing the impact of our prayer.
Okay.
And so he says that if we look at the teachings of Jesus, Jesus not merely endorsed fasting, but he also lived fasting. Mm. Remember when he spent the 40 days fasting in the desert. So that scripture is the place that we want to look. And we want to find the guidelines for fasting. We're blessed. Our church lays it out for us, and we're especially attentive during Lent.
Right.
But, you know, fasting, I know people that instead of meat on Friday, they now have a non-meat meal. They'll have just pasta or they'll have fish. And that becomes another way of fasting throughout the year.
Right. So, well, we do try to do meatless Friday year round for the most part. I mean, sometimes it's not possible if you're invited to someone's home or whatever.
Because,
you know, I mean, a priest told me this in confession once, your first obligation is always to charity.
So,
and you can just give something else up or just do it the next day.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So at any rate.
But anyway, so this book is especially helpful not only in giving the history of the United States and the ways in which we were blessed by the prayer and fasting for this nation, but this book also teaches you how to apply fasting to intensify your prayer in your life.
Okay.
So I don't know if we should go back to Plymouth Rock now or— Would you like to do after our next break?
Yeah, why don't we take our break and then we can just talk about the Plymouth Rock uninterrupted until the show's end. So, listeners, this is just going to be a fascinating, I think, a lesson from Loretta, a teaching today on Thanksgiving and on some of the different spiritual aspects of it you might not be aware of or haven't thought of, and it'll give you something other than politics to talk about at the Thanksgiving dinner table. So, we're going into our last break. Don't go away.
This week, we gather round the table with family and friends and offer our thanks to God for the gift of our very life and the blessings bestowed upon us. Happy Thanksgiving from Winds of Change. You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Freilich. We're sitting in this Thanksgiving week for Father Anthony, and we're talking about Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And Loretta is giving us a really informative teaching about Thanksgiving. So, Loretta, continue from where you – I don't want to take up more time talking about my Thanksgiving recipes or whatever when you have something far more important to talk to us about.
Well, I think this is – like you said before the break, I think this is a great story to share, and here's why. One, it's true. But if you notice in the war in the Middle East, like, you know, they blew up the, I think it was ISIS, blew up the tomb of Jonah. And, you know, in all of the Nazis, they were taking down the history and the culture. In Poland, it was an equally criminal act to join the resistance and to promote Polish culture,
right?
Because they were trying to break the people by taking their culture.
Exactly.
And in so many ways, that's what's happening in our nation. They're trying to disconnect us from what
our
true history and heritage.
Our identities.
Our identity.
It's our Christian identities.
Right. So we all know that we like to eat in winter as much as we like to eat in summer, right? So
a little more in winter, probably.
A little more.
Your appetite's I know. I do think, you know, you do have a that's a thing. You do have a more intense appetite during winter because your body needs it.
Yes.
Your body needs the extra fuel for, you know, cold and everything else.
So in the summer of 1623, the pilgrims were planting the corn crop. And they were very carefully planting it. But in the summer, it was threatened. And this is straight out of Bradford's papers. A great drought continued from the third week of May until about the middle of July.
Okay.
Without any rain and with great heat for most of the summer. And the crop began to wither away.
Mm.
And as it withered away, the ground was getting parched, and it was just, it was really not anything that they were expecting. And some of the grounds were so parched, they were like withered hay.
Wow.
And so what happened was the Indians were having the same problem.
Hmm.
And so in Bradford's pilgrims, they set aside a solemn day, and they called it a day of humiliation, and because they sought the Lord with humble and fervent prayer.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And he writes in his papers, he was pleased, meaning God, capital H, he was pleased to give them a gracious and speedy answer.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. And both to their own and the Indians' amazement.
Okay.
And so for all of that morning, it was clear and very hot, not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward the evening, it began to overcast and shortly after to rain with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. But Bradford goes on to document that this rain wasn't like a summer rain that was violent and heavy and would have taken out the withered crop.
Uh-huh.
It was a sweet and gentle rain and soaked the ground thoroughly, and which revived the decayed corn and other fruits.
Okay.
It was wonderful to see. He documents again, the Indians were astonished. And after that, the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange and blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest for which mercy in time convenience. They also set aside a day of thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
So, yes, and then the practice of setting aside special days of prayer and fasting became accepted on the part of the life of the Pilgrim colony. And on November 15th, 1636, a law was passed allowing the governor and his assistants to command solemn days of fasting and also days for thanksgiving as the occasion required.
Oh.
So, you know, it is not, it's not without understanding that the fasting and the prayer had an effect. And it was so amazing that the Indians who had no knowledge of God,
right,
of the Pilgrim's God, had no knowledge of the Pilgrim's God. They certainly had, you know, a greater power that they prayed to. But how about that, Mayor?
Yeah.
God showed up. He showed up due to prayer and fasting. And so they created a law in 1636 that the Pilgrim colonies would have a day of thanksgiving. And so, you know, what we are celebrating on this day, it gets formalized down the road. I think Abraham Lincoln is the one who started the fast.
Right.
I know that other fasts were proclaimed by Washington, Adams, Madison, but it is then Abraham Lincoln who orders the fast. Lincoln, he had two fasts, and he required that all the heads of the families have prayer and fasting being carried out in the homes of the nation.
Wow. So Lincoln asked for fasting,
yes,
on behalf of the American families.
Yes.
For what purpose?
Well, he ordered the prime cause for each of these were the Civil War.
Okay.
And it was the central theme, they say in this book, was for the restoration of national peace and unity. And there were three different fasts, and he had Congress proclaim them. And I think that when you look at Lincoln recognizing that the Civil War was over, thanks be to God.
Yeah.
And then in recognition of that, he started prayer and fasting in accordance with what our national foundation was.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's Lincoln was such a deeply spiritual man.
Yes.
I mean, he really was. And it's I don't think many people recognize, you know, and everybody, you know, Lincoln's everybody's favorite president and everything. But how incredibly spiritual he was.
Yes.
And a man of deep prayer. And you know, I was just talking to someone the other day about we had a meeting, a mandatory meeting for everybody who's a lector at the parish meeting. We do the readings.
Right.
Before Christmas, they wanted to do kind of a retraining for Advent and Christmas of all the people. And so I was there and we were just talking about how so few people understand some scriptural concepts. And there was an article in the paper, several years old now, but Jean Elstein, who had been the head of the political theory department at the University of Chicago, right? So very, very, very smart students. She had an article that was in the op-ed in the Chicago Tribune where she talked about how she would have to do sort of remedial scripture training or teaching in order to help, you know, she, as she said, I can't teach Lincoln's speeches because his speeches are laced with scriptural references because my students don't know the scriptural references.
Right.
So I have to do like remedial level Bible story teaching with them, not from a religious perspective, but so that they know the Bible story so that they can understand the political texts that she teaches. I mean, it was really fascinating to hear her, you know.
Well, what's so fascinating is when we look at our nation and we see what's going on, and we see that in Lincoln's third proclamation, he writes, I do hereby further invite and request the heads of the executive departments of this government, together with all legislators, judges, and magistrates, and all other persons exercising authority in the land. So he includes them specifically and also the law-abiding people to assemble and to fast and pray.
Huh.
And that, think about that. Look at what's going on in our government now.
Yeah.
We have, you know, the Department of Justice has been weaponized. We have people that get special privileges. We don't go after them when they commit crimes, but we go after others for crimes we've made up. If we were a praying nation and our government was doing what Lincoln said, doing what Lincoln had asked, doing what he proclaimed,
right?
If they were doing that, they couldn't do the other.
Yeah,
in my mind. But
yeah.
So if they were genuinely fasting, genuinely seeking the Lord, I think our nation would be a much better and more peaceful place, and it would be something that Lincoln envisioned in response to the gifts in this nation.
Yeah. Well, do you have, because you are my go-to person for prayer suggestions,
sure.
How do you pray with your family on Thanksgiving before the meal?
Well, they hate it.
Do you do the thing where, like, yes. You have to, like, the turkey, and you got to write something you're thankful for? And
yes, we have to write something that we're, well, I have a little friend who made me feathers. They're construction paper feathers, but they have everybody's name on them.
Okay.
And so they have to write what they're thankful for each year, and then we save them. We get them out next year, and I might need new feathers this year, Teddy. But anyway, so we go around the table and say what we're thankful for, but we write it down so we can remember next year that this is what we were thankful for last year.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. It is.
That's a nice thing to do.
And
do you,
is good.
I mean, do you, and how, now you said they hate it. So how do you, and I believe you that they hate it, but no, seriously, how do you
they
get
do.
Them to, you know, be more engaged in, if you will?
Well, I think I start and then they have no choice.
Okay.
You know, and back in the days when Grandma was with us, they pretty much did anything Grandma said.
And I totally, well, yes, your mother was a force with which to be contended. And
amen.
So I completely understand that. So,
but I, you know, this year I think they've all been so touched by, you know, the outpouring of love from people just to comfort us that, and I can see already the effects of my mother being able to be at the throne room and intercede for them, that I think we might go more quietly.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you're so much to be grateful for. And I know, you know, it's a sad year for you because this is the first Thanksgiving in your entire life without your mom.
It is.
And that's going to be a huge difference, difference for you. But
I'm
also,
so thankful, Mary, for all the ways I've been blessed.
Well, I have to say the gratitude that I know I have for your mom being in my life, and I can't imagine, you know, what you all must feel as her family, and just, you know, and I you know, it was funny because I was at the St. Luke's where your mother's funeral mass was held the other day, and she just, you know, I often think of her if I'm in there because but I was just thinking of, my gosh, what Father John, who presided, what he said at your mom's funeral, which was, you know, and she was 94, so she had a beautiful, good, long life. You know, it was it was not a tragedy in the sense of, you know, someone losing a child or whatever, but nevertheless, that's a very hard loss when you lose a parent.
Yeah.
But him talking about how for a person that age, you never see the church full, and the church was full for your mom. And
amen.
So that's something to be thankful for.
Amen.
The number of lives that she touched. Well, listeners, have a beautiful and wonderful Thanksgiving. Loretta and I will not be here next Monday. We are taking a well-deserved, in my opinion, week off. but we'll be back for the start of Advent, and we look forward to being with all of you then. Goodbye, and God bless you.
God
bless you, and share that story at your
What's
Thanksgiving
there to
table.
Say
it's
when
our
the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time.